is Kathleen Maxwell Randy with The Gathering, bringing God into everyday life, and I appreciate you joining me today. Let me encourage you to not just listen, but partner with God and practice what He speaks to you. For more information about me, published newspaper articles, to contact me to speak in your area, or purchase my new book, Thriving Through Seasons of Grief, visit my website at www.kathleenmaxwellrandy.com. This podcast reaches around the world with listeners in 27 countries thanks to the one-time and monthly gifts from people just like you. If you want to give, simply click the button that says Become a Patron or Patronage at the top of the podcast. And don't forget to click the Follow button, and you'll be the first to know when new episodes are released. And leave me a comment. Enjoy the podcast.
Well, welcome everyone. This is Kathleen, and I appreciate you joining me today. And I am excited to share with you today's passage and just what I feel like God has put on my heart. But before I do, I just want to give a shout out to some of our listeners around the world. New Zealand has been listening quite a bit, Australia, Spain, Switzerland. So I want to just say welcome to all of you and let you know that I do appreciate you. And today I'm going to talk to you about a passage in Hebrews that I have been studying. And this week, as I was praying and asking God what He wanted me to share, I just felt like that He gave me a download about some things in a common passage that I've read before, but I just saw some new things that I want to encourage you with. You know, my heart is just to empower each and every one of you and to encourage you in your walk with the Lord and to encourage you in the things that God has called you to. He has such a strategic purpose and plan for each one of our lives. And each one of us is responsible for that. And He has given us spheres of influence that He wants us to touch different people right around us. And so I want you to be aware of that. Oh, my friend, your life matters. And there are people that God wants to use you to touch. So let's jump in right now. If you've got your Bible and want to follow along with me, to Hebrews chapter 12. And this passage is often referred to as a passage about faith and encouraging us in faith. And that's how I have seen it. But as I was reading this week, I just saw some neat things. So I'm going to be reading from the NIV, and then I'm going to go to the Passion Translation. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." So, as I was looking at this, just one of the things that jumped out to me was how heaven is cheering us on. I just saw, when it talks about that great cloud of witnesses, I just saw just all of heaven cheering me on, cheering you on. It was like they were in the bleachers and they're watching us run this race called our life, which can sometimes be very tedious, very long, and sometimes we just want to quit because there's so much that's difficult, hard, crazy right now in our world. And, you know, for me, I just saw and had a picture of just some of my loved ones that are up in heaven and, you know, saw them cheering me on. I'll never forget, goodness, years ago, I had just lost my dad and my mom, and not too long before that, my husband. And I was just really dealing with a lot of grief that day and just really kind of wanted to quit. Life was just hard in some areas. And I was going out for a walk, jog. And as I was going along, there was this one place I'll never forget. It's right by a park that's near my house. And as I was pouring out my heart to the Lord, as I often did when I walked, it was like I just saw my dad saying, "Get up, get up, get back in the race, get back in the race, Kathleen, get up." You know, and then I saw my other loved ones cheering me on. And I'll never forget that, because it was like I saw a picture of me and I had fallen down. I had dirt all over my face. And I just wanted to lay there. You know, I just wasn't even sure I wanted to go on in the race of life. But, you know, that cheering has often reminded me. And even when I walk in the neighborhood now, I think of that time and I just see heaven cheering. And so I want you to know that you've got cheerleaders up there. You've got other believers. I mean, it's hard to imagine, but even Peter and Paul and Moses, you know, all those guys are up there cheering you and me on. And whatever it is God's called us to, whether it's ministering to a neighbor, ministering to a coworker, praying for somebody sick, or teaching a Bible study, whatever it is God's called you to. And I just see those people cheering us on. And so know that you're not alone. You know, it also says in Hebrews, Jesus says he'll never leave us or forsake us. He never will. He never will. And in this passage, it says... It says in the Passion Translation, it says, "For as for us, we all have these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds." And I love how that puts it. They circle us like clouds. And, you know, looking out, it's sunny where I am today, but there are clouds in the sky, and they're pretty clouds. And they encircle us. You know, they encircle me as I drive. It doesn't matter where I go. They're still there. I, you know, was doing my routine today, going to the gym and going to the grocery store and different things like that. And those clouds are surrounding us. And so in all of our life, we've got people cheering us on. Okay, so going on in this passage, it says, and here's something I want to focus on a bit. It says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us." And, you know, it says, "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." You and I are both in a race. We're running our own race. We are responsible for our own things. And it's important that we throw off anything in a race. If you're trying to run fast or run a marathon or, you know, you want to throw off. The more you have to carry around, the more it's difficult. It just makes the race more difficult. And so some of the things that I felt like God was speaking to me that it's important for us to throw off is to throw off anxiety, to throw off doubt, to throw off fear, to throw off despair or helplessness or agitation. Wrong attitudes. Anybody guilty of that? You know, one of the things, and I even saw this just dealing with we're trying to get a new mattress, and I was dealing with that earlier, and I found myself just really getting a little agitated because we've waited over a month for this, and now they're telling me that they're sending it, and it's on a day that I'm not going to be in town to receive it. And so I spent over 40 minutes today trying to say I need to reschedule. And I found myself, my attitude, just getting, you know, I was getting irritated. And I just felt like the Lord stopped me. And he said, you know, you're responsible for your attitudes, your actions, and your choices. And I want to pass that on to you, because you and I are responsible for our attitudes, our actions, and our choices. No one makes us agitated or angry. We choose it. And God wants us to walk by His Holy Spirit. He wants us to walk by love. You know, his attributes, when we invite Christ into our life, those attributes are in us, and we can choose to exercise them and walk in them and carry them or not. And, you know, those attributes are love and joy and peace and kindness. And it just hit me how Satan wants to trip us up. He wants to make us fall down. He wants to make us quit the race. And, you know, that's his job description: kill, steal, and destroy in any way. And those are just some things. So I want to pass that on to you, you know, that we need to throw those things off. Anything, any sin, any wrong attitude, any negativity. And oh my word, it's everywhere. You can't go out or have a conversation on the phone and it doesn't, you know, it seems like to me there's people talking about just all the things that are going on right now in the world, from Afghanistan to COVID, you know, outbreaks have surged here in the U.S. and to politics, all of those things. It just, you really see how it gets people riled up. And I think some of those are things that are just the enemy likes to propagate and promote, because it gets us off our original task, and that is serving others and other believers and those that are hurting around us. So I just want to pass that on to you. I want to read to you this just a little bit again from the Passion Translation. I love what it has to say about, you know, when we're running. It says, so we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we are able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has already been marked out for us. God wants us to run our race with passion and determination. Oh my goodness, that excites me. That really, really does. But I loved what it says back up here. It says, let us let go of every wound that has pierced us. And one of the things that I feel like we need to throw off, make sure in our daily life, and I mean daily life because life happens to us all every day. One of the things that God doesn't want us to carry around with us, I feel like, is unforgiveness. And that's if someone hurts us, offends us, does something we don't like, and we take it into our heart. And unless we choose to forgive and lay it down, throw it off, it can fester in us. And I ran a half marathon. I've never run a full marathon, but I've run a couple of half marathons, run, walked. And, you know, in those long races, it is important that I don't carry anything. I mean, I think I didn't have anything that I carried, because I didn't need anything to make me any heavier, anything to put any more stress on my joints or you know, my legs and my feet. I was trying to do that as fast as I could. And I was thinking about that in the spiritual sense. The reason Jesus is telling us this is because he wants us to run that race that he has for you and me in life. He wants us to run it with passion. Oh my goodness. And so I want to encourage you to let go of every wound. Examine your heart this week. Has anybody offended you? Has anybody done anything to hurt you? Has anybody said something that you're like, I don't know about that? Jesus doesn't want us to carry anything extra around. In these sins, it says, we can easily fall into. Because you and I are human. We're human. And it says here, when we are able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, because there's a path that's already marked out for us. Oh, that just excited me. I don't know about you, but I hope I hope it really did. And then it goes on to say in this passage that we're to run this race with perseverance, in other words, not quitting, and fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. You know, today I went to a CrossFit gym, and it was the hardest workout I think I have ever done in my CrossFit days. And we did, my goodness, we did 115 burpees, which that's a lot for a 61-year-old woman. And we did 115 ski calories. We had to do that on the ski machine. And it was a very aerobic endurance type of workout. And we had already lifted, you know, done some deadlifts. And I tell you what, it was hard. I had to just focus on one thing at a time. I had to focus on, I was determined to finish. I had to really keep my focus in the right place because it was so difficult. And, you know, it says here about Jesus being the author that we're to fix our eyes on him. We have to fix our eyes on him. And we have to look to him for the strength, for the grace, for all that we need. And I had made, this girl at the gym had had this t-shirt on, and it said Amazing Grace. And as I looked at the workout, I thought, man, I don't know that I'm going to be able to finish this. And I just made a comment to her. I said, well, I'm glad his grace is sufficient for this workout. And she chuckled and I chuckled. But I had to draw on the strength of the Lord, really, to finish that. And, you know, God is telling us that, to keep our eyes on Jesus, who's the author and the perfecter of our faith. He's always wanting us to grow in faith in him. And so we have to fix our eyes on the prize. And sometimes the prize is finishing. Sometimes, you know, it is just walking across that line. And one of the ways in the half marathon that I did, one of the ways that I endured the hardship was I had some friends that did it with me. And so we were having a conversation. You know, we were cheering each other's on. We were encouraging one another. And I know for me, I was certainly praying, but we have to keep company in our daily life, in our just everyday routine with Jesus, because I think he helps keep us on track. And, you know, he's the author, it says, and the perfecter of our faith. And, you know, when I thought of the word author, I thought of just the book I'd written. And I've had a number of people since that book contact me in things. My book is called Thriving Through Seasons of Grief. And I've had people that are widowed, that are going through some kind of grief or loss in their life, come to me because I am an author. And Jesus is the author of our faith. And what hit me is the importance of us going to him, because he's the expert in that area. I'm not the expert in grief, but I've had a lot of experiences in my life. And so that experience has made me rich because I've turned to the Lord. And what I feel like Jesus is saying to us in this passage is the importance. He's trying to perfect our faith. He's trying to get us to grow in him. He's trying to get us to practice his ways, because it brings life and life abundantly to us. And so going on in this passage, it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy that was before him, he endured the cross. You know, you are his joy. You and I are his joy. And he endured that cross because he was thinking of the prize. And that prize was you and me. It was to be able to spend eternal life with us. And my goodness, we have the opportunity to share that love, that joy, that peace of Jesus with those around us. And it says, because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that we would be his, he endured hardship. And so I want to just ask you, what's your hardship right now? What is it? What is it? And maybe the prize is your character. As you come out of whatever trial that you're walking through, or difficulty, or hurdle that you're trying to get over, what do you think Jesus has as the prize? What do you think is in his heart for you? And I encourage you to ask him those questions and to spend time thinking about that and meditating and asking him, because he wants to tell us. You know, in this passage, when I read that part about he scorned the shame, I thought, that's interesting right there. But you know what hit me is that Jesus knew who he was. He knew he was the Son of God. He was secure in his identity. And what hit me there is we must be too. Identity keeps us focused. Identity keeps us persevering. When we know who we are in Christ, that we're his, that we're chosen, that we're loved, that we have, he has purposes and plans for us. You know, I've got some podcasts, Wake Up to Who You Are, Understanding Your Identity and Value, Living in the New You. And I encourage you in those, because our identity keeps us in the race. And I've talked to different people recently that have struggled with identity. I'm going to be teaching more on that in the fall. And so I encourage you to check out those podcasts too, because our keeping our identity can help keep us moving forward. Okay, so going on here in this passage, it says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You know, Jesus understands where our heart's at. He understands our difficulties. And right here, he is saying, consider, he's admonishing us, consider him, consider Jesus who endured opposition from sinners. Have you had any opposition from sinners? Let me just ask you, have you had opposition? You know, I just look back over the last few weeks, and yeah, there's been opposition. There's been opposition from some unkind people. There have been not, it says sinners, and any of us can fall into that. But it says real clearly, don't grow weary and lose heart. Don't grow weary and lose heart. You know, it says when in the Passion, it says when we look away from the natural realm and we focus our attention and expectation onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this: because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation, and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, sweet friends, whatever your cross is, whatever your hurdle is, your challenge is right now, don't quit. Don't quit. Stay in the fight. Keep your focus on the one who gives you faith. And for me, that is Jesus. And in the difficulty, realize that it is worth it to stay in the race and to not grow weary and lose heart. Those are things Satan wants us to do. He wants to derail us. He wants to get us off the track of the race that God has for you and for me, because lives are at stake. Lives are at stake. There are people that are waiting for you and I to share the love and the hope of Jesus. And if you're struggling in your faith, go to him. You know, I had a few weeks ago, I had someone call me and for prayer, and I went over to pray, and there were several other ladies there, and quite frankly, you know, the person I was praying for really needed a miracle. And I prayed with all the faith that I had in this situation. And when I walked out and got in my car and drove away, I burst into tears. And all I could say is, Lord, I prayed with as much faith as I have. I need you to give me, to perfect my faith, to help me to have even more faith to believe for my friend's healing, because it's hard to watch somebody that you love struggle. And I know that this friend needs a miracle. And it's okay when our faith is weak. It's okay to shed tears, because Jesus understands, and he's the author and the perfecter of our faith. And so when you find yourself weak, just go to him. Confess your need for more of him, because he's right there. Right there. Well, I believe that's all we're going to have time for today. Thanks so much for listening. And if you want to sign up for my newsletter, go to my website at www.kathleenmaxwellramby.com, and you can sign up for it and get news and information that I put out. I'm going to be leading some Bible studies in Uvalde and in Kerrville coming up, and so you can check that out. But let's close in prayer. Lord, I thank you for your word, Lord, that's alive, that is there for us each and every day to encourage us. And just thank you, Lord, for this message and for how you've strengthened me, but I ask that you use it to strengthen those that are listening. Father, help us to throw off everything that hinders us, the sin, the doubt, the unbelief, the hopelessness, the agitation, the wrong attitudes, and let us run with passion the race that you have for each and every one of us. And Lord, help us to keep our eyes fixed on you, Lord, to look into your eyes, to see the joy that you have and the great, great love that you have for us. And Father, I just pray for each one, Lord, for the hearts that are weary, Lord, for those that are losing heart, I ask that you just encourage their hearts. Thank you, Lord, for your love, for your peace, for your joy, for your kindness to us, and help us to give that away to all that are around us. And I ask that in Jesus' name, amen. Hope you have a great week, and I sure hope that you'll join me next week.